Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I'm managing.
You're managing?
Yeah, I'm managing.
Bright side, Jacob is not here right now.
I'm managing decidedly better than usual.
Downside, Aki is here.
I'm now managing decidedly worse than usual.
Hey, you'll get over it, bitch tits.
So Aki's here. Jacob will be here later on. He has a review to take care of later on in the show, but I legit have no clue when he's going to be here. That's what makes this one fun.
Mm-hmm. Fun. Great. Yeah. Thrilled. Overwhelmed. Fantastic.
Banana.
So anything fun anyone wants to talk about this week?
I haven't kept track of any news or anything this week. I've been...
Well, we'll get to the news in a minute, but...
Yeah. I don't... Well, can I talk about my fancy new monitor?
Sure.
I got a new drawing monitor. Everything just crashed. No, it didn't. It's fine. I hit the power button.
Oh, Jesus.
There we go. Yeah, I hit the power button on one thing and, like, everything. I'm getting used to the new setup is what I'm doing. Because I got a new monitor and it's way too big for my setup. And so now everything is out of whack, and I don't know where to look for anything at all. I can't find anything. I touch buttons that I don't need to touch all the time. It's fantastic.
And the best time to get used to a new monitor is during a show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically, I've had it set up since yesterday. I'm just still not used to it.
Mm.
So... Like, we went through the whole, like, moving everything off my desk and clearing everything out, rerunning all the wire spaghetti. And we put the monitor, I have a monitor arm that holds up two monitors because I have a 32-inch, and then I've got, that's not 32, that's a 27. A 27-inch, and then I got the new XP Pen drawing monitor. And I was like, cool, I'll replace my old Huion monitor with the new XP Pen, and I'll and just put it on there, and it's great, right? Except it's not great because it weighs 16 pounds, and the monitor stand that I have my arm mounted to just tipped completely forward and tried to lurch off the desk.
Nice.
So I damn near lost both monitors.
Proud of you.
But David is much more useful than me, and he caught them before they fell.
Before they fell and crushed you underneath them.
Yeah, because I would have just died. I would have just stood there and died. But he got
everything.
I about
did die when I scored what I scored this week.
What did you score?
It costs a decent amount.
Was it as much as a monitor, though?
No, it's not as much as one of your monitors. I dropped $200 on this, but it's the cheapest I've seen it. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it's on the PS4, but I found a collector's edition for Zombie Army 4.
Nice.
The one with the zombie shark.
Nice.
I'm so jealous.
The 10-inch zombie shark will soon be in my possession. It's been a long time since I've done an unboxing video on the channel, but you're goddamn right I'm going to be doing one for that. I am so excited about this thing.
Is the zombie shark going to take up residence next to the alien statue?
It was actually going to go above my desk, but I'll definitely show it off before I
put it up there. It has to be on screen for just a little while first.
Yeah, I'll definitely show it off.
Nice.
I'm stupid excited about that. I've wanted that thing for so long. It was supposed to be a GameStop exclusive in the States, and I have never seen or heard of GameStop actually carrying it.
You know, I didn't ever think to check down here. I bet here it's probably like in a back corner somewhere, getting dusty for 10 cents. They'd be like, shit, take it and get it out of here. I'm tired of cleaning around it.
Oh, we converted it to used and threw everything out. Oh, that's what drives me crazy when they do that shit.
Hate that.
Throw so out wasteful. Good collector's editions just because they stupid. Anyway, yeah, that's what I'm getting. Zombie army. I'm nice. Thrilled. Gonna have a zombie shark. I'm so happy about this stupid shark. Ashley's like, you are ridiculous. I can't believe you're going to use that much money on something that stupid. I said, I can't believe it either, but I'm sending you the rest of my money that I made. So
that justifies it. That's your allowance right there.
Well, normally she's the one who gives me the allowance. This is just me paying her back a little bit.
I wonder how much a division statue would cost. That's actually okay. Some people have them on eBay for like $90, and then others have them for $50, and then some others have them for $1,000.
Depends on what statue you're getting, I guess.
Yeah, there seems to be a couple differences. Like this one was apparently a loot crate from Taiwan that they sent out. Hmm. With like hats and shirts and shit too. But yeah, that's one of the few like collector's edition things that I would really like to have is a division statue because it's cool as shit. And I always find that I struggle with the idea of getting game memorabilia shit like that because I feel like I'm supposed to have like an adult's house. And people are supposed to walk in and be like, yes, you are a respectable adult.
Nah.
But then also just, I really fucking want the division statue. But was, at the same time, I grappled with this, was it last year? I think it was last year. David got me a poster for The Crow, which is my favorite movie. And that's another thing where I'm like, do I embrace my love of crows? Or do I try to look like a reasonable adult? And every now and then I just sneak in a cute crow anyway and just let it go. And then he got me the poster and I was like, that bitch is just going above the couch. I don't care. So my living room is like this adorable farmhousey look, but I've got my State of Decay metal sign and I've got my crow statue and I got a couple spare little crow statues hanging around and posters and my Rocket League ball. Because it might be an adorable farmhouse, but also sometimes I'm a child.
You have to be.
Yeah. You have to surround yourself with the shit that makes you happy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still stuck with you too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, technically only me, because Aki's just going to sit there and stew until she can say something offensive.
No comment.
See?
Actually, I've been looking at the Mass Effect Legendary Cash Editions on eBay, and they're still stupid.
They're yeah. going to be insanely priced for a while.
Yeah, it still really makes me upset. I wanted that so bad.
Why, just for the wearable helmet?
No comment. I love Mass Effect, and I was like, that's just going to be my birthday gift to myself, and that did not happen, because it was sold out within like 4 minutes. I couldn't even get in the cart.
Yeah, they have more affordable helmets you can get, though?
Maybe, but I just...
I don't know what they offer for sale.
I don't know, but the just the cash, which doesn't even include the fucking game, people are like selling it for $360+. With the game included, it was sold for $210.
360 honestly isn't that horrible when you factor in like the demand for it. I don't know. That doesn't seem too awful to me.
Yeah, the cheapest one I can find is $365 with $40 shipping, so it's $405. Oh, yeah. And doesn't include the game.
No, that is pretty so.
Yeah, originally with the game included, it was $210 from anywhere else that sold it. It was only $210 for that and the game combined. Yeah.
I would have said I like the Steelbook from Best Buy better, but I'm not happy with the Steelbook from Best Buy.
Yeah, because it only has the fucking room for one disc. That is so retarded.
One disc for a two-disc game. Best Buy, what the fuck were you thinking?
That was so fucking dumb.
Oh my god.
I mean, the art is significantly better looking on it. I will definitely agree with that, but that is so fucking dumb.
Yeah, I returned the game and went digital.
Tis a shame.
Anyway, speaking of digital, should we talk about some video games?
Sure.
Sure. I can do
that. You sound so enthused, Cole.
I'm rolling. I'm doing great.
You're like, sure.
Mm-hmm.
First bit of news should excite you.
Yeah.
Game Pass news.
I love Game Pass.
Now available on the cloud is The Wild at Heart.
Yay.
Yay.
I'm so sad that there's not more Wild at Heart for me to play. Like, I feel bad not getting excited about it, but it's just because I was so excited about it that I already completed it, and now there's nothing left for me to be excited about.
Proud of you. What, Aki?
She was singing Zombie Shark to the tune of Baby Shark.
Just
with a little bit delayed.
I blame Scotty.
Are you just in your own little world right now?
No, Scotty said it earlier, and it's just been stuck in my head this whole time.
Proud of you. June 3rd, For Honor joined the cloud and console for Game Pass.
Nice.
June 8th, the PC is getting Backbone. I don't know too much about that one, so can't really chime in on that.
Yeah, I don't know
anything about it.
June 10th, everybody is getting Darkest Dungeon. That's a cool addition.
I've heard good things about it, but I haven't played it. I don't think.
This will be a good opportunity to fire it up. Yeah, and then
you say that like I have time.
You might.
No, you could if you gave me
completed
the games, like,
Wild at Heart.
Shit. Yeah, now that I don't have 30 hours to check into Wild at Heart.
Then later on in June, on the 24th, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit Remastered is joining EA Play.
Nice.
Which will be joining Game Pass. So, not all good news. There are some games leaving Game Pass on the 15th. Five games are going away, and there's some heavy hitters going away. Ace Combat 7,
kay.
Night Call,
kay.
West of Dead.
Okay. Oh, no.
Yeah, Observation.
Okay.
And Wizard of Legend.
I don't know what that one is.
Me either.
Oh, I need to go back to West of Dead. I think I own it. I might own it.
If anyone hasn't played Observation, go play it real quick. It takes like 2 days. It's a fast game. It's like a 6-hour game. Go play it. Beat it.
Arnid says Backbone is a dystopian pixel art noir adventure.
Ooh, I might go play that then.
Well, it'll be on Game Pass.
Pixel.
So.
Cool. Pixel art is perfectly fine. Snobby. Fucking art snob shithead.
PlayStation Now getting some additions for June. They have a pretty nice lineup of games joining. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt Game of the Year edition is joining until September 6th.
Okay.
So Game of the Year, you get the whole kit and caboodle with it. They're getting Slay the Spire until December 6th. Well, you're not excited about Slay the Spire?
I love Slay the Spire. I'm always excited for people to play Slay the Spire.
I thought you would have a comment.
No, I don't even need to say that shit. Like, if you have not played Slay the Spire, you need your head knocked in.
Oh, God. And then there's a whole bunch of Sega games joining with Team Sonic Racing, Sonic Mania, Sonic Forces, and Virtua Fighter 5 Ultimate Showdown, and then Car Mechanic Simulator.
That's probably a really relaxing game.
It's actually really good as far as, like, if you like that blue-collar simulator type of game. And there's a lot of people who do. My husband plays the shit out of them, and he liked it.
Yeah, I've watched some people play some of these newer simulation games, and I'm like, they just seem so fucking relaxing.
They're just not my kind of thing. I've tried getting into them. I definitely see the appeal of them. It's something I would rather like watch on Twitch than play myself.
Yeah, I've never played one, so I have no idea.
It's one of those things, like, I like to play a PC building simulator, but it's one of those, like, I don't feel like moving my hands to do anything excessive, and I just want to be mindless and plug and unplug cables, and that's a good game for that.
Yeah, see, I was thinking there's one that came out on Steam not too long ago, I think, that's just power washing stuff.
Yeah, there's Power Washing Simulator.
It's like that.
That looks like something I could get into.
It's yeah, so satisfying.
I watched someone play that for like 3 or 4 hours. It was like it was just so relaxed. Well, it was relaxing other than the fact that he was all over the fucking place with it. I'm like, oh, that just looks like a good game. And I, that and that house flipper game, both. Mm-hmm. They just seem like really relaxing games. Those are the two I think of when I think of simulation games. And I'm just like, those look like those could be really fun to play.
Or Castle Flipper?
I haven't seen that one, so.
Paul?
Yeah. It's, Castle Flipper is a little more involved than House Flipper, I think. But we'll get to it. I don't want to spoil the review. Come on.
All right, well, we'll move on to some other news. The new God of War from Sony is being bumped into 2022. There's also talk that it will be hitting the PS4 alongside Horizon Forbidden West and allegedly Gran Turismo 7 now as well.
Huh.
So Sony's whole comment about there being generations was just bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably because next to no one has the console because of all the fucking scalpers.
I mean, there's like over 7 million PS5s out there. It is nuts how well it is selling, and it's crazy how badly scalpers are still ruling that market.
Yeah. I think once they figure out who a scalper is, they should just ban that name. That address, that everything from
nice.
Shopping in their store, period, ever again. But like, no, you're a piece of shit. Fuck you. Goodbye.
That'd be nice. Oddworld Soulstorm apparently got an Xbox rating in Brazil.
Ooh.
So we might see that jumping over to Xbox. That would be nice.
Cool.
Phantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis is going to be launching June 9th. So that's right around the corner.
That'll be something for you.
I'm excited to try that. Far Cry 6 got a firm release date of October 7th.
I'm kind of looking forward to that. I do like those games.
It was a lot earlier
than I was expecting.
It was originally scheduled for last month. And then it got bumped.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was August that it was originally scheduled for.
It must have been bumped a few times then.
I have no idea. I'm looking forward to that one. I like the Far Cry games.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. And GameStop, their Ultimate Edition, has like an explosive chicken steelbook.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, I have to go look at this because
it looks pretty
fucking
ridiculous.
Weird.
Dying Light 2 is going to be releasing December 7th. I'm excited about that one.
I am excited for Dying Light 2.
I still haven't 100%ed the first one. So,
well, get on that.
I need somebody who has really good gear to take me through some of the stuff, because I suck. I got to one of the, I think it's DLC, the one where it's basically an arena you have to go into and you have to just go through it. I was like, this is hard, and leveling past max level at this point is a bitch, because all the glitches are gone.
Mm.
So,
oh, well, maybe Dying Light 2 will be chock full of glitches for people to exploit once again.
Yeah, but then I'd have to get it day one and no.
Anyway, Ghost Runner is going to be hitting the PS5 and the Series X natively September 28th. Seems far away for something that's been out for a while.
That seems to be the nature of it, though. Like, I'm kind of surprised at how long the updated versions have taken to get out for a lot of different games. But I think it's also reasonable at the same time, because you have these smaller dev teams and they're having to go back in and retexture all this shit to make it look good on the new consoles and make it run better.
Yeah.
So to an extent, like, if they're really pushing the 4K shit and they didn't the first time around, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, well, September 28th, so a few more months. So chatty. King of Fighters 15 is going to be bumped from 2021 to quarter one 2022, so another delay hitting there.
Okay, I am not familiar with King of Fighters.
It's a fighting game. Probably only going to be on PlayStation.
Most likely. I don't think it's ever been on anything, but PlayStation, has it?
Yeah, there's been any some King of Fighters games on Xbox.
Oh.
Yeah, one was, I think one was Games with Gold just recently. I don't know. Anyway, the latest update for Microsoft Flight Simulator lowered the game's install size from over 170 gig down to 83. Thank Christ.
Wow.
That's still so much. Jesus.
Yeah, Christ. It was also rated for the series, so release may be nearing for that one on console.
Okay.
Yeah, no. There's no, there's not even a fucking game, though.
The fact that they have like the entire globe in there.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. Psychonauts 2 has been rated for the Series X and S, but not for the PS5. So it looks like the PS4 is going to be the only Sony platform getting the game, which makes sense.
Interesting.
Microsoft is probably like, listen, we're going to fund what we promised they would fund, but we're not giving anything extra.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
So, Double Fine promised a PS4 release. It's getting a PS4 release. Then nothing else.
Get fucked. Should have bought an Xbox. Then you could have played it on Game Pass.
Yeah, I can't wait for Game Pass. I can't wait for Psychonauts to hit Game Pass. That's going to be good. Good shit. Some sad news. The sun is officially setting on a number of Need for Speed games, and they and their DLC have all been yanked from storefronts. Those games are Need for Speed Carbon, Undercover, Shift, Shift 2 Unleashed, and The Run, and all online features for the games will be disabled on August 31st.
That seems soon.
Yeah.
That's really, really soon for so many to poof out of existence.
I always wish that they wouldn't just gank them immediately from the store. Like, give us a week or so's notice that you're going to pull it from the store and let people buy it if they want to try to get the achievements or have it before it dies, rather than just ganking it out of the gate.
Yeah, it would have been nice to give people a chance to pick it up. Like, I would have picked those games up digitally if they were like, hey, listen, they're going away at the end of the month. Get it or forever hold your peace.
Well, think of the people who might have bought the game and enjoyed it, but didn't even know there was DLC for it or something. Because not everybody, you know, stalks news, game news and updates and shit like we do. So maybe they enjoyed it and would have, you know, would have liked to have played more of it if they'd known there was DLC. Now they don't even get a chance if they see it randomly, like, oh, or they load it up to play it and they're like, oh shit, you know. Server's dead. But like a little more forewarning before they kill that shit would be nice.
No. Let's see, what else? Wreckfest officially released PS5 and Series X and S versions on June 1st for $39.99. It is a $9.99 upgrade for existing owners. You just pick it up in game. There was a menu in game that I had to just hit accept, and then the purchase went through, and then it downloaded a 24 gig file.
Huh.
So
what game is this?
Wreckfest.
Hmm.
And it doesn't show up as a Series X game, like when you sort it by console type.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that it has the Series X files there, it doesn't show up as a Series X title, which is weird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sure they'll fix it.
Last bit of news I have is Knockout City has gotten over 5 million players since launch, and they are officially making it a free-to-play game up to level 25, and then you got to pay to continue playing. I think that's a great idea. I think it's going to get a lot more people invested in the game, and hopefully it gets more people staying with the game, because I friggin' love Knockout City.
Knockout City is great, and I'm really glad to hear that they did the free to level 25. You'll hit 25 pretty quickly, but still, if you're actually playing it. So, still a nice touch that people can jump into it and try it out.
No. I'm having a lot of fun with the game. I am pretty proud of my one game I had. I was on a team, and I was on the level with the train tracks. It was me and one guy. I had him targeted. I threw the ball at him. He caught it, ready to throw it back, and then I got hit by a train. I was laughing my ass off because I thought it was a perfect death. It was out of nowhere. It was hilarious. And I actually recorded the clip on my Xbox, and then I went to continue playing and I got hit by another train.
It's a wonderful clip. It really is.
So I actually had two clips of it. One of just the first train hit, and then one that has both train hits in it. I got rid of the first clip because it felt redundant. But the reason that I wasn't paying attention to where the train was the second time around was because I was recording a clip of the first train hit.
Good. I feel like you need to include those clips in at the end of the show. They're that good.
I'll include a link to them in the write-up. People could check it out on True Achievements.
They need to be included somewhere, that's for damn sure.
It's a pretty beautiful clip, though. So, yeah, that's the news I have. Anyone else have any news, or are we just diving right into reviews?
We had the list of upcoming events for this month for all the convention shit that somebody had put together.
Oh, yeah.
And okay. I basically just want to say, like, all I care about is finding out more about Division Heartland right now. I need more Division.
Well, you know, you could always install the first one.
Not like that. No.
Of course. Shithead.
What else you got?
Bought that season pass specifically because she said she'd play it with me. She refuses to fucking play it with me. Shithead. Story of my life.
Cole. Anything else, Cole?
No, nothing for me.
Cole,
I don't keep
track. Cole, are you going silent? Are you muting?
No. I'm just over here with goofy ass grin.
Yeah, she's a shithead. Exactly what I said. She likes to torture me. She gets some sort of weird thrill over this, and I don't get it.
Y'all are horrible. Should we move into reviews?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that.
All right. First game to talk about tonight. This is going to be great because you're talking about it together. It's called Biomutant, developed by Experiment 101, published by THQ Nordic, released May 25th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $59.99. A plague is ruining the land, and the Tree of Life is bleeding death from its roots. The tribes stand divided, in need of someone strong enough to unite them or bring them all down. Will you be able to bring those divided together and stop the plague? Cole, how about you start off? Tell us about your time with Biomutant.
I didn't stop the plague. When you start up with Biomutant, you get to actually choose what your mutant looks like within a few parameters. There's a lot of character customization that goes into it. It's not just how your character looks, but how they look affects like whether they have physical strength or whether they're more intellectual. So you have to actually take into consideration the kind of abilities you're giving your character. I thought that this was really a neat inclusion in the game, but because you do it immediately, you have no idea how that's going to affect your gameplay. And so I found myself just instinctively wanting to play it safe and pick middle of the road options rather than going extreme one way or another, because I was afraid that if I picked something too dramatic, that I might soft lock myself in some way and not be able to actually get through an area or something. Or that the game would be like, because you just don't know, right? When you first start up, you don't know. You can level up and increase attributes here and there. But again, I often found myself wanting to put too much emphasis in strengths, just because if I didn't, running into enemies would get my shit rocked. But it was the whole premise of the game is that all the animals are basically fractured into tribes, and the tribes are at war with each other, and the world eaters are kind of taking advantage of that to just gobble the fuck up out of everything, right? So you need to unite the tribes or conquer them in some other way and take over all of the tribes, get them all together so they'll fight against world eaters. Your very first goal is to decide if you're going to join one of two different groups. So basically one of the groups is like, you know, eradicate everybody else. Supremacy is the only way. And the other group is like, no, 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 we can work together. We can be peaceful.
Well, not only that, but one of them also wants to help destroy the tree. And yeah. The other wants to save it.
Because the goal is to, whether or not you save or destroy the tree of life. So all the decisions that you make affects the story at little twists and turns. There's even a morality system where, you know, sometimes light or dark choices can be made, and these affect even how other characters remember your childhood based on the types of choices that you made, and their memories of you are affected by that. It's a really unique system.
But
I know it's a creative system, but it's kind of underutilized. It's only really for a narrative effect more than anything else, right? So at times it feels a little out of place because
you also unlock access to specific abilities as well.
Yeah.
Based on how much light and how much dark you've gone up. But you can go up a lot of both more than both of mine are well past the rates to get all the powers for each, so
yeah.
It doesn't really impact too much.
Like, ultimately, it's not the driving force it feels like it should be. And yeah. On top of that, there's like this little comedic element of like your light side and your dark side actually come up as little figures and fight it out over you.
They're so cute.
They're adorable and they're funny. They feel kind of out of place given everything else going on. Every time it would happen, I'd be like, comedic break. Okay. Not the time.
Yeah, the dark one sounds like the Joker too, which is nice.
It's an odd choice. Like, I don't hate them by any stretch of the imagination, but I just feel like they don't fit in with the rest of the game.
True.
So yeah. As far as actual combat goes,
you were bad at it?
No. The problem is that I have like a hack and slash mentality, and you can play it like a hack and slash, and it essentially is. I purposely chose the dual knife wielding because I knew I was going to have as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh no, I'm hack and slash. Because
why don't we talk about that concept? When you first start the game, not only can you figure out what kind of character design you want, but you can also pick one of five different classes, I think it was, which each give you a new unique way of fighting enemies.
Unique drink.
Yep. There's the dual wielding melee individual, which Cole clearly took.
That one too.
There's the pistolier, which is the one I took, which is the one that you see in all the trailers and everything. There's the Sentinel, which has more armor and carries a big stick, a Commando that carries an assault rifle, and a person who uses magic abilities, basically, as the last one. And Cole keeps saying how she needed to put everything into physical in order to survive. I've literally put next to nothing into anything other than luck and bartering ability so I can find stuff more often and so I can get more money when I sell stuff and buy stuff at a cheaper price.
Well,
and
I'm doing fine
as a pistolier.
When you put shit into luck, that gives you a better crit hit chance, which would be a reasonable way to go about it if you are using a long-ranged weapon more often like a pistolier would.
I guess that's true. I use that and I use a big two-handed sword. It's so weird. Then again, I also found a lot. There are special weapons you can find in the game as well that are unlocked through side missions that have special stats, namely that they set enemies on fire. And I found the best one was the first one I found, and I found it pretty early in the game.
Oh, God.
And I've been wrecking shit with it since. Oh, man. I went into an area at, like, level 7, and it had level 13 monsters, and I killed the shit out of them with that sword. So, yeah, it's good times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why is my crew so good at breaking games?
Because I do all the side quests first and I go places I probably shouldn't. I have bypassed locks in the game in numerous areas where you're supposed to go into this area because of a side quest or a main quest that says, okay, now you can get into this area, and I've gotten into it beforehand. Just because
it doesn't particularly try to stop you. Like, if you can figure your way out to survive it, it'll let you do it.
Yeah. Some of those abilities that I talk about, how, you know, when you're light and dark, you can get abilities. There's also one for bio caches, which just help you mutate a little more. And one of the abilities that you can get from that is making a mushroom spawn that just lets you jump significantly higher. And with that, I've gotten into buildings that I couldn't get through the door of by getting onto the ceiling and dropping through holes in it and stuff like that. I have bypassed so many things that you're not supposed to. It's what I do.
Sequence breaking. Hooray.
But it doesn't screw up the game. It just doesn't, like, if there's an enemy in there that you're supposed to fight for a side quest or a main quest or something, and you haven't unlocked where it says, okay, go here and fight this thing, it just stands there. It can't take damage. It doesn't attack you. It's just there. But you can collect all the collectible stuff that's in there and hop right back out, which is what I've been doing.
That is awful.
I love the hell out of this game. I've put 40 hours into it, and I'm only 10%
done. Beautiful game, too. I am really impressed. Outside of a handful of glitches I've run into, like visual glitches where textures weren't loading in right, otherwise the game is gorgeous. I think I'm really impressed with how good the game looks on a visual standpoint, given the size of the team with this game.
Yeah, even on the S, it's really good. Occasionally, the graphics just white out for a second when I look at it in a certain way, and just only happened a few times. But otherwise, it's been fine the entire time, which is really impressive. Go ahead, Cole.
I'm really impressed with the visuals of the game as well. But I did have one little gripe, and that's because everything looks so fucking pretty. But when the wind blows, it kind of looks like they're just going over areas with a warp brush. I wish the wind animation of things moving in the breeze was a little less jank. Like, it just kind of looks like bushes and stuff are moving up and down, as opposed to actually swaying in the breeze. Mm. Everything else is beautiful. But for some reason, I think because everything else was so pretty, that stood out to me more. And I was just like, that was not a shortcut to take, guys. Everything else is so good. And then you just kind of move the bushes up and down for the breeze. So that's the only, like, real thing that stood out to me that I was like, oh, you could have done a little better.
As much as I love this game, I do have a couple small gripes with it. They're very small. One, all the gear you wear, if you find a shirt that you really like, it might be crap and have crap stats. And that's just life, because every shirt you find that looks like that will have the exact same everything, other than it might have a little more or less armor to it. And I'd really like it to where you could just be like, okay, I like this specific design. I want whatever I'm wearing to fucking look like that. Would be really nice.
Like just a transmog system.
Yeah, I would like something like that, because right now my character looks fucking god awful, and I originally had this really cute skirt and this punk rocker shirt, and I really loved it, and now my character looks like a fucking clown. They have a face piece and a head piece that also provide, one provides stats and armor, and the other is just armor, really. And there's no option to be like, I don't want these to be shown. Mm-hmm. While I'm wearing them, like there is in lots of other games, and I'd like that to be there, just because once you're fully kitted and stuff, your customized look doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot, because you can't fucking see anything. I'm like, I spent like a half hour, 45 minutes, something like that, working on making my character look really cool, and now I can't fucking see anything. It's like, I just want to be able to be like, I don't want to see any of the head shit I have equipped. I want all their benefits. I don't want to fucking see them, though. And a transmog for outfits would be fantastic. With those, just I it would be a lot more fun for me just because the character would look more what I want my character to look like.
No. Well, those minor gripes aside, it's a $60 game. What are the two of you thinking?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's great. I know some people were complaining that it felt felt repetitive because of the going through outposts and stuff. But ultimately, when I was playing it, I was like, I don't understand the complaint here because you would do the same thing in like Assassin's Creed. Valhalla or all even of them? Immortals Phoenix Rising or any other kind of action RPG of this caliber. So I don't understand why that's a complaint that people are having. It just seems like it's the core gameplay loop as far as I'm concerned. So yeah. I don't even see what most people's disagreements with the game is. I thought it was a good time.
And on top of that, with $60, you're getting a metric fuck ton of stuff in this game. Because again, I've spent like 45-ish hours somewhere around there, 40 to 50. And the game actually has something in it, in the menu, that tells you how far into the game you are. Yeah. I'm like 9 to 11% through the game.
Jesus.
Yeah, it is. There is a lot of fucking game to
this
game.
A lot of side quests.
Yeah, so you buy this for $60, you're looking at like a 200-hour game, probably, if you really want to do fucking everything there is to do in this game. And if you're buying a game like this, you probably do, because that's the point of these games.
Cool. All right. Well, moving on. Next game to talk about is called King of Seas, developed by 3D Clouds, published by Team 17 Digital. Released May 25th on Xbox One, PS4, Switch, and PC for $24.99. King of Seas is an action role-playing game set in a deadly procedurally generated pirate world. In a ferocious plot, you will fight to regain what has been taken away and embark on an epic adventure in a fantastic world filled with battles, lost islands, and treasures. A universe full of amazing characters and breathtaking missions will keep you anchored as you strive to become the king of all pirates. Cole, tell us about your time with King of Seas.
So, I don't know what I was expecting with King of Seas, but I didn't get it. And that's okay, because what I got was actually quite a bit better. I was a little concerned it was going to rely far more heavily on 3D naval battles. Thankfully, it doesn't, because I really fucking hate the 3D naval battle thing. And instead it's a top down, so it feels more like a twin stick, but you're controlling a boat. When you first start up, you get to choose whether you're gonna take the prince or the princess. I chose the princess. Why the fuck would you want to bother with the prince at that point? And you start the game with the princess captaining a ship on her maiden voyage, and she's just got to go do a basic run-of-the-mill delivery, right? When she is gone, well, before she leaves, they're like, oh, it's just a run-of-the-mill delivery, the seas are safe, you don't need anything. So they don't even put any guns on her boat. That should be your first warning shit's about to go bad. As you return from making the delivery, you find out that a voodoo priest has killed your father, the king. And the naval army has decided you were the one that orchestrated it. And of course, because your boat has no cannons, they all turn and shoot you and blow your boat up, and you're presumed dead. Pirates find you, nurse you back to health. They have a code of leaving nobody out to sea. And now it is up to you to carry out their fetch quests, essentially, while they help you become the queen or king, if you choose the dude, I guess. The queen of the seas that you were meant to be. Really, really pretty game aesthetic. No voice acting, though, which I was kind of surprised by. You just have the occasional, like, like they do in voice act in visual novels where they just go, and you're like, that's it? That's all you got? Yeah, that's it.
It That's my reactions when you're doing reviews.
Yeah, basically. You try to make it sound like you're paying attention, but you're not paying attention. So there's...
Wait, we're supposed to pretend like we're paying attention? I'm sorry.
No, not you.
Okay, good.
So yeah, basically, you have to prove yourself to the pirates, and they'll give you a ship with cannons this time. And you can then carry on missions for them. You can go to visit different islands. There's different seaports. Sometimes you'll just stop at an island and pick up some random crates or what have you as to get things that you can sell to help yourself out. Cat just randomly jumps past me and shakes everything. Sometimes you'll stop at a port, and at each port you can actually go to taverns, and there's a bank where you can put the stuff that you don't want to risk losing while you're out to sea. Then there's markets. You can repair your boat. You're going to repair your boat a lot, or at least I did, because I suck. I was constantly picking fights with people I had no business picking fights with. I had a penchant to get into run-ins with ghost ships at night, which was fun. And had a really cool gameplay, what's the word I'm looking for? Gameplay mechanic. But is really hard, and if you're low level, you shouldn't do that. I died a few times, and I was like, don't worry about it. I put all my rubies at the bank. It's fine.
And you did it multiple times, didn't you?
Every time I saw a ghost ship, I was like, fuck it, why not? I can't help myself. I'm a glutton for punishment.
Proud of you.
But it's so satisfying when you do finally manage to get one, because they are hard to get. And they're often quite a few levels higher than you are. I did have a couple of issues. There were particularly a few missions where you would have to guide other ships around. The very first time I played, I locked the fuck up out of the first, well, not the first mission. It's like one of the third or fourth missions that you do. I had to start the whole game over. Because this boat was supposed to be following me to a seaport, and there was a ghost ship, so I was going to go all the long way around, because if that ship died, I was fucked, and so I couldn't pick a fight like I normally would. So I was trying to go the long way around to get to the port. The fleet ship got to the port side, or to where the port would like line up with the other side on the island, and was so dead determined to dock there, even though there wasn't a port on that side, that it refused to follow me around or any other place but to that spot where it was trying to dock. And it fucked the game so hard, I just scrapped the whole thing, started over. Thank goodness it was early. But there were later missions where if I wasn't careful, I'd lock them motherfuckers right up too.
How is it that my crew is so good at breaking games?
Puts in the job description. You're not allowed to act like you're surprised. I've got a 5-year history on this show breaking shit. This is what you should expect here. True. You know better. But yeah, it was just, that was my biggest gripe about it, is that definitely needs to be smoothed out where they where the ships that are supposed to follow you are trying to dock at ports that aren't there. Other than that, I had a good time. I thought it was a really fun game. I really liked the way it looks. Could have used some voice acting, but can't really knock it for that either.
No.
It is what it is. But I liked the art, and I liked the story, and had a good time.
Well, then $24.99 on it. What do you say about King of Seas?
I'm going to go with a recommended try it. Like, obviously, don't go into it thinking you're going to get the full-on naval battle thing. It's definitely a more pared-down kind of top-down twin-stick kind of naval experience, which for me was a lot better, but a lot of other people might be expecting something that's not there.
Yeah.
And also, just because they really need to smooth out some of those glitches with the following ships. Otherwise, it's a good game.
Cool. All right. Next up is Mutazione or Mutazione. Do they say it in the game, Aki?
No, they do not.
So I'm on my own with this one. Mutazione, developed by Daigute Fabric, published by Akupara Games. What is with the names on this one? Oh my god, released May 26th on Xbox for $19.99, a mutant soap opera where a small town gossip meets the supernatural. Explore the Mutazione community as Kai, as she cares for her ailing grandfather. Discover magical gardens, new friends, and old secrets. They can survive an apocalypse meteor strike, but can they survive their small town drama? Aki, tell us about this one.
Okay, this is effectively a visual novel, honestly, except for you get to walk around in it. Most of your actions is just walking around this small city of like 10, 12 people and talking to them or listening to them talk to each other and just doing that with each individual in town and then going to the next wait area, which just moves you to the next time period of that day. So like you'll have morning, you'll have noon, afternoon, night, late night. And you can interact with most, if not all, the people in the town in each one of those and get to know them and talk to them and occasionally make choices, which I don't think really affect the game all that much. They just give you different tidbits of information instead. I don't think it actually impacts how anyone sees you or interacts with you or anything. There's no manual saves, so you just play through it, which is why I don't know those things yet. Because I did not get to manually save before a choice, go back and see what happened when I did the opposite thing. Other than that, you're walking around and you're picking up seeds from various plants to grow in various gardens around the city. Your grandfather was a shaman, basically, for this town, and he used a magic drum and sang a song, and the plants would grow like insanely instantaneously, instead of over the weeks and months and whatever it takes to grow good proper plants. And he teaches you that so you can, one, so you can grow stuff on the island.
You grow some bomb ass weed.
Yeah. And two, so you can help heal some of the rifts that have formed in the town. Because he's been sick for a while, and he was kind of the heart of the town, the mediator, the one who basically did all the community stuff to keep everyone tight-knit and together. He was kind of the main guy who did that, and since he got sick, everything's kind of fallen to shit. And, so since you're there helping him, you start doing that because it's scripted in the game for you to do that. Each area you plant stuff, you can sing a different song, which will help specific plants grow. And it's all based on what song it is you're using. Every seed that you plant, it says it reacts well to a specific song, and it tells you what environment it grows in and stuff like that. But generally, each one of the individual plots of land where you plant stuff is for a specific song. So you can be like, okay, and it tells you generally right beforehand what the song is for it and everything. So it makes it real easy to do. This is just a really chill, laid-back game. It's effectively a slice of life. You just see these people's lives. There is some magical qualities, obviously, like the plant growing, but also the meteor that apparently crashed into the place like 40 something years ago or some shit like that mutated everyone on the island, which is why it's called the Mutazione, or however it's supposed to be pronounced in game. I always assumed it was Mutazone, and maybe they just had a weird letter in it. They've maybe all mutated. Like, there's one woman who has changed into... did any of you see the new version of Cats?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think I should either. I've been warned against it multiple times.
No one should. It's horrendous. But that's effectively what one lady has been turned into, is one of the cats from that. Another's turned into a giant fly. There are people who turned into hot dogs, or maybe hot dogs came alive. I'm not sure. Which is really funny because one of them's named Wiener, one's named Wurst, and I don't remember what the third one's name is anymore, but they're all named after types of hot dogs, which is kind of funny. Most of the people on the island have mutated in that way, which has made it to where most of the surrounding area doesn't really want anything to do with them. So they're just this very insular, small group of misfits, basically, because of that. And they have their, you know, usual everyday problems that everyone does, you know, on a small little island where they're isolated at. They're not like, oh, people hate me because I'm a freak. No, it's more like, oh, I'm pregnant and I'm just angry today because everything's been going wrong today. Or, oh, someone I cared about died a few years ago and this is their anniversary of their death and it just still hurts. That's the kind of stuff you're dealing with in this game. It's just very normal laissez-faire stuff. It's not, you know, oh, the world's ending or any shit like that. It's just very,
very normal,
very relaxed. Yes. Which definitely conflicts with everything you see around you because everything's in ruins. There's these odd plants growing everywhere. Almost everyone's a mutant in this place. It's two different worlds colliding and it's just very nice. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It has really nice music to it. Every one of the songs isn't anyone singing. It's just music playing and it's very lovely. So cool. I'm all for it.
$20 on this game. What do you say?
Yes, very much so. This will take you a while to finish too, because there's just interacting with everybody and each one. If you just go straight to the areas where it skips forward in time, this game probably wouldn't take you more than a couple hours, maybe. But actually interacting with everyone, which is what the game has been made to make you do, in each time period throughout each day, and you're there for like 7-8 days, something like that, that ends up making the game take significantly longer. I've put 8 hours into it, and at least maybe more, I'm pretty sure more, and I'm a little past halfway through the game. So it'll take you a while if you're doing it the way that clearly it was meant for you to go through.
Cool.
And it's just a nice little cute game. I totally think everyone should play this. It's just a cute thing.
Awesome. All right. Next up is Castle Flipper, developed by Pyramid Games, published by Gaming Factory and Ultimate Games, released May 26th on Steam for $18.99. Castle Flipper is your unique drink chance to become a medieval royal craftsman, build your own kingdom, and rearrange the castle at your own discretion, breathe a whole new life in old rooms. Maybe one day you will become a king. Paul, tell us about your time with Castle Flipper.
I didn't become a king, but that's because it took me a while to figure out how to use the broom. And the reasoning for that is because I could not get my controller to work, so I was using mouse and keyboard support, which we know is not my strong suit.
Yeah.
It's not. It's
broom.
Yeah, it's, you have to like click over with the mouse and then you have to actually like move the mouse back and forth and stuff, but you have to go through tab with the menu to get to it.
It's so you kind have of to use convoluted. It like a broom.
I don't know about you, but I don't have to press tab to pick up a broom in my house.
Just your thumbs, it's fine.
because I couldn't get it to support a controller, I struggled a little more with it than I would have liked to. I don't know if maybe that was just an issue with my Elite, or if it just doesn't support controllers overall. I didn't get a chance to try with any of the other controllers because every time I picked one up, the kids had killed the batteries in it.
Yay.
That's what reviewing games is like in the summer when your kids don't have school and they're playing games all day. So I unfortunately, I'm not sure what the actual issue with the controllers was, but mine didn't work. And so basically, if you've played House Flipper, as it seems most people have, except for me, unfortunately, then you're already like got your foot in the door with what to expect here, right? Like you're going to have a piece of property and you got to clean it up for the sake of Castle Flipper, you actually go and do tasks for other people that you'll get paid for, so you clean up on their property. The interesting thing about this is that it feels like the tasks for other people that you get paid for going to do, those feel like they're the tutorials. When it seems like it would be just as prudent to be like, hey, you're already on your property, just press E to pick that up, rather than having me read a note on a notice board, accept the quest, go somewhere else, and then learn to press E. It was kind of a long way to go about teaching me something they could have taught me in the first 10 seconds. Just a minor gripe. Like, you get used to it. It's not the end of the world. It's just that I thought it was an odd way to approach it. But the actual going and doing the other missions are really kind of cool, because you would think, with a title like Castle Flipper, that you're just going to be doing repairs on castles and barns and things of that nature. But you actually get to go and build other really cool shit from that same medieval time period. At one point, you have to go build a trebuchet, which was really exciting. A lot of the architecture that you deal with is from the Baroque and Renaissance period. So it's really kind of cool to see that put into a game in a House Flipper kind of context, rather than something where, like, you're some big honorable knight. Like, no, I'm just here to scrub the floors. But yeah, I had a really good time with the game. I just wish I could have enjoyed more of it without, you know, dealing with fatigue because my controller didn't work.
Yeah.
But overall, I think it's really enjoyable. It's one of those, we were talking earlier about blue collar games that just kind of simulate blue collar jobs, but you can kind of just do them mindlessly and enjoy them for what they are.
Yeah.
And they make you feel like you're being productive when maybe you're in a position where you are absolutely not in the mood to actually be productive. there's a benefit to that. You get a little bit of a dopamine hit. And so I can definitely appreciate what the game is doing and where it stands. It does a really good job of it. All the mechanics worked fine. I would have liked a little more visual indicators. You do eventually get, like, skills that you can unlock, one of which is, you can press, I think it's Z. And it shows you get, like, special sight, so you can see where all the dirt is. At the same time, as awesome as that idea is, like, the way it works out is not actually as practical as it could be. If you are not where you could see the dirt, for example, like, I was trying to test it out, and if there was dirt on the notice board, if I was in front of the notice board, it highlighted the dirt. But if I was behind the notice board, it didn't. If I'm behind the notice board and the dirt's on the other side, that's what I'm using a special sight to show me where the dirt is, right? If I'm already standing in front of it, I don't need you to point it out to me. So there's a few little, like, nitpicky things that I could gripe about that I would like for it to be a little more obvious with its HUD to point things out, maybe make things, I stumbled around wood forever before I realized that I could pick it up. Just because it gets a white glow around it when you can pick it up, but it's such a small thin line that I just didn't even notice it when I was looking at it. Mm. And I would just like to see a more prominent, hey, dumbass, you can fuck with this kind of alert. If for nothing else, it maybe, you know, set it under accessibility and make it a toggle or something, or a slider that, you know, would affect the brightness of it. But that's really the only thing that I could even kind of gripe about, is just that it needs a little more in the HUD. I can understand trying to have a HUD that's, like, low scale, right? Not in your face. But when everything kind of blurs together and blends together like that, it would be nice to have a HUD that kind of points shit out as, this is something you need to pick up versus this is something that you need to throw away.
Well, overall, $18.99 on Castle Flipper. What are you thinking?
I think the content's there. I think the idea's there. I think the execution could use a little polish, but again, it's just mostly an accessibility thing to fuss about, that I would fuss about. I think most people won't give a fuck, but yeah, I think it justifies its price, and I'm okay giving it a buy it.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, next up is Nuts, developed by June, Paul, Mooch, Char, and Tofi, published by Noodlecake, released February 4th on Steam for $19.99. A single-player surveillance mystery, record the squirrels, report your findings, and piece together what's really going on in Melmoth Forest. Aki, what is going on in Melmoth Forest?
Some bad shit, yo. You're a student, a university student, I believe, who's been paid by a professor to go out and do a little study of this seemingly protected area because there are a rare type of squirrel there. They don't really specify, so they're just squirrels to me. They're there because this big conglomerate wants to build shit there. Something that they've tried in the past, and we're told, no, this area is protected because of the study the professor had done when she was younger, and now they're trying to do it again, as though the place would be any less protected, which it wouldn't. But ignoring that, so you're there, and the professor just gives you various things throughout the day to do, which are namely set up cameras, and then set them to record, and then it skips to nighttime, and you have to follow a squirrel. Typically, she has you set stuff up facing a tree, so you can follow the squirrel down out of the tree, and then try to see where it goes. And you just have to keep placing cameras around to follow it from its next bit until you can find where it ends up at the very end, so all that information can be recorded.
Interesting.
And that's like 99% of the game right there, is just doing that in different locations. It gets kind of complicated real quick because, they don't always just come down out of the tree and run along the straight ground in one direction. No, they swerve throughout the place. They might go behind bushes. They might climb up other trees. They might fucking go around rocks, climb up rocks. So you have to constantly move the camera so it can take a number of in-game days to follow these creatures. I think one of them took me like 20 something in game days, and it was infuriating because that took like an hour to do. But most of them are pretty short, and they take a handful of days, and you just keep positioning cameras to follow them and repositioning ones that you had positioned, because you only have X amount of cameras. So you just keep them on the trail, and you just move one to the next bit, and then you just keep doing that over and over and over. Move the one that's in the back to somewhere in the front and hope you catch them over and over and over until you figure out where the fuck they're going. And then you take a picture, you fax it to her and with your notes and stuff, and she's like, okay, moving to the next area.
Sounds like a weird one.
Yeah. It's a nice chill game in that aspect, but throughout this entire thing, on her end, it's a little more interesting, though you don't get to see very much of it. The big corp is manhandling everything. They're doing things, well, they're outright doing illegal things in the area, building and stuff, when they're not allowed to. Because they haven't gotten permission to do it yet. That's what this entire thing that you're there for will dictate. What you find out is what dictates whether they're even allowed to start doing anything there. And they've already fucking started. And it's a fucking mess of a place. And then eventually they start going after her, after the professor for stuff and all this stuff. Sadly, you don't get to be a part of any of this. That's stuff that she just tells you while you're talking to her during certain days. And it's like, I really want to see that shit, because that sounds really cool and interesting. And instead I'm looking at fucking squirrels. The buy for this one is more if you think it looks interesting, because it doesn't have the general usual looks for these games. The colors are fucked. So
yeah, it's got a weird, goofy style to it. It's drink, but unique.
Yeah. Like sometimes the entire environment, it might all be bright teal green, and then some items are bright yellow, and that's the color of the entire thing for that entire stage. Other times it's a dark red with a dark purple for everything, and it changes based on the stage at what colors things are, and some of them are fucking god-awful, like bright teal and bright yellow. Those do not mix, by the way, at all. No. Oh, those are so, so terrible together. But well, everything is that color. The squirrels usually aren't. They're usually like white or brown, at least so you can fucking find them, little bastards. But everything else is that color, and it's a graphically interesting look for it, and that's I think that's a big part of what they're relying on people to buy, just because it looks so weird.
You're buying the style.
Yeah, it's a heavily stylized game, and I think that's what they're going for, is just that stylized weird color thing.
Well, at $20, what is your official verdict?
At 20, it's really hard to suggest this, because it's, you can beat it in a few hours. And I mean 100% do absolutely everything there is to do, and then just fuck around a little bit. It took me less than 4 hours to do, I think.
So try it when it hits a sale.
Yeah, yeah, I would say that's acceptable, unless you're really put off by garish color coordination, in which case, probably not for you, because this can be pretty fucking garish sometimes.
All right, well, next up is Astro Aqua Kitty, developed and published by Tiki Pod, released June 4th on Xbox One and Steam for $14.99. The Aqua Kitty Cats have launched into space in an all-new action RPG shoot-em-up adventure. Our friend Serlina reviewed this one, sent in a review. This is what she's got to say. Greetings, my SML lovelies. It's your girl, Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Astro Aqua Kitty for the Xbox One, developed and published by Tiki Pod. Astro Aqua Kitty is a 2D action RPG shooter that puts you as an enterprising kitty pilot with an equally adorable engineer as y'all blast your way through space defeating baddies so your company can mine that delicious milk in peace. Let's get on to the review. I have to say, I feel a little awkward describing this game as an action RPG, but I don't really know what category to place the game. You pick your pilot, and each pilot has their own stats and preferences, and you do the same for the engineer. You gain XP, you level up, and you pick and choose what you want to invest in. This isn't all the game is, of course, as you get to blast baddies with a variety of weapons that you can find and equip to your ship. You can also equip mods that help with your survivability as well. I still can't shake the very schmuppy feeling that I get from this game, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. As far as the story goes, you pick up little side quests here and there, things you need to do in order to progress further into the level. However, I wouldn't say there was much of a story here, as there are several MacGuffins that must be located and so you can get to the next portion. I normally care very much about a storyline, but I didn't really care in this game. Why? The game is absolutely gorgeous. It's one of the most beautiful 2D games I've played in a very, very long time. There was a portion where you have to get these impassable rocks drilled through, and the movement of the drill bits was mesmerizing. The environment pops and sings, and I was thoroughly happy just swimming around. Oh yeah, that's another thing to mention. Even though you're in space, you're apparently also in underwater asteroids? Well, that doesn't make sense. It's cool though, because the game doesn't forget. Though your baddies are aqua-themed, you'll be shooting up so many crabs and fish that you'll feel like it's revenge for enjoying a good seafood buffet. Also, the random NPCs are all wearing oxygen helmets. It's a really cute addition that I appreciated. Speaking of appreciation, I should also mention the soundtrack, which is lovely. I thought I would get tired of the upbeat space electronica, but it was enjoyable. One portion that really made me LOL, oh god, was beating this specific baddie that, when you got close to it, literally sounded like a car revving its engine. Little touches, lovelies that always get me. Let's talk about the gameplay. It's magnificent gameplay. Again, I can't help but shake the shmuppy feel, because you're cruising around blasting baddies and reacting very fast to them. Most baddies are unpredictable enough to keep you guessing, but the bosses have their patterns, which learning them will benefit you. The movement felt natural, with the exception of knowing how to flip your ship so you can get the baddies behind you. I managed to figure it out, but the game nor the controls didn't really tell you, so it was a guessing game of what does this button do. However, once I got that down, I was right back to natural, smooth gameplay. Astro Aqua Kitty is available on Xbox One and other platforms for $14.99, and should you buy it, absolutely buy it. This little genre-mashing gaming gem is worth your time and money. I really don't have anything bad to say about it. Just go buy it right now. She didn't say right meow. I am so disappointed.
But she did make you say LOL.
I know, yeah. That's a pretty bad one. Anyway, next up is Farm Frenzy Refresh, developed by Alowar Entertainment and Game On Production, published by Chili Dog Interactive, released June 11th on Xbox One for $9.99. Everyone's favorite casual farming game appears before players in a new guise to give a unique experience, the most exciting and popular economic simulator. This time, Farm Frenzy came out in three-dimensional space, and all is in order for you to get the maximum pleasure from the game. Trust us, you've earned the luxuries of farming daily leisure. Paul, tell us about Farm Frenzy Refreshed.
Is it everybody's favorite farming game, though?
I don't know. You tell me. You're the reviewer. No,
Stardew Valley exists.
That seems more of a hardcore farming game instead of a casual farming
game. Farm Hero Saga exists. There's a lot of other, I've never heard of this until it landed in my lap, and I play a lot of farm games. On purpose, because I like them. I wouldn't even dare say that the farming aspect is a little on the slim side as far as this game goes. This is definitely one of those games that you can tell it's a mobile port because there's touch. The game revolves around touch inputs that we just don't have access to on Xbox. The entire point is that you have like a little circular area. And there will be some animals in that area, and you have to touch the water to fill it up, to fill it up so that you can then touch the ground to make some grass grow. And then your animals will drop whatever byproduct that particular animal is responsible for, like milk, or duck will drop an egg, or the pigs drop bacon, but it looks like a ham steak for whatever reason, but they call it bacon. Not even Canadian bacon. It's full on ham steak. but anyway, they'll drop whatever's responsible byproduct. And then you got to pick or touch that to put it into your warehouse. Oddly enough, bears will sometimes invade. And you have to click on the bears 3 times to put them in a cage. And then click them again to put them in your warehouse. And then you sell the bears for $100. And that's how you deal with the bears.
Okay.
I've been farming in real life for a really long time. And I have never sold a bear for $100. I've also never touched one to build a cage around it, though. So what do I know? Maybe I'm missing out on some quick money making. As you get money, you'll need to turn your animal byproducts into other byproducts. So, for example, you'll want to turn milk into sour cream, and then you'll turn it into cheese curds, and then you can turn it into cheese. You build the machines around as you need them. The way that it plays, because it is a mobile game, each day is essentially broken down into a level itself. And so you'll have a certain series of completion requirements, like get 5 duck eggs and then you're done, right? Or as you get further into it, you'll get a little more complicated, and you might need to actually get all the stuff to make a hamburger, or you might need to actually make a cupcake or something a little more convoluted. The levels are timed, so in that if you beat it before the first timer runs out, you get a purple star. If you beat it before the second timer runs out, you get 3 stars, then 2 stars. And then eventually, as long as you beat it at all, regardless of how long it takes you, you'll get 1 star.
That's good. You tried star.
Yeah, the you tried. He gave it an effort. Maybe.
How do you?
So at least you'll always get one. You then take your stars to your actual overarching farm hub area, where then you can buy ducks and pigs, and you build a little barn, and you can have a cat, and you can have a dog, and you can actually earn income from these houses on a daily basis. So every time you complete a level, it counts it as a day. You go back to the hub, you can then click and pick up the money. You use the money and the gems. There's so many different types of currency. And again, that's the curse of a mobile game, right? You use your gems, you use your stars. You have to have a vegetable garden, you use your vegetables. All that's different currency that you can use to upgrade your tools and other items, or your tools, like the skillet that you use to make bacon and eggs, for example. You can upgrade those. The thing that I didn't like is that you upgrade those using your diamonds, and then you have to pay cash to actually activate the upgrade when you're in a level. So if you're trying to earn money to get through the level before the timer's up, you have to be so quick at it that you're already earning money and then upgrading your equipment so that you can actually earn more money in a timely manner. It can be really fucking hard. I got 8 purple stars in the first 43 levels. And even after buying upgrades and going back and trying to get some of the stars, I could not do it. I was shocked at how fucking difficult this game was. I know part of it's because I'm old and I was tired and it was like 4 a.m.
You're tired?
Tired. I was trying to keep it from being worse. You know, and it was 4 a.m. and I was just like, I can't do this shit right now. But then it just kind of got to where it was so incredibly fast, and the requirements where I was just like, look, if I get the U-Tried star, I'm happy for myself and I'm done and I'm going on. On the plus side, you can go back, you can do them over again. I will say, what the fuck, this game has achievement tracking.
Really? That is very nice to hear. Knockout City doesn't even have achievement tracking.
I know. I was like, I saw the little pink bar going up and I was like, the fuck is this?
Thank you, Farm Frenzy.
I didn't know they had it in them. I'm so proud of them. I wish more devs would do it. So thank you for that. I'm almost tempted to give you a buy it despite being really fucking hard for no good reason, just because you have achievement tracking. That's the long and short of it, Joe. You can ask me what I think about it now.
All right. Well, then $10 on it. Well, are you giving it a buy it because of that? Just having that achievement tracking?
Pretty damn close. I am going to go with a recommended try it because I do think they could like smooth out some of the some more of the pay to win elements that kind of creep in. Like, there's no microtransactions and you can't actually pay to win, but you can tell where the pay to win was there, and it needs balanced out a little better. And if it weren't for that, I would be like, yeah, fuck it, buy it. But as it is, I'd go with a try it on it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds good. All right. Yeah. Well, Jacob's not here.
Yeah.
We got one more game to talk about. Jacob's not here. I messaged him on Facebook. He says 5 minutes, got to go to the bathroom. So,
he's never getting back.
So what do you want to talk about until Jacob gets here? Because I'm keeping all of this in the show to shame him shitting when he should be on the goddamn podcast doing his review. And look who finally showed the fuck up.
Woo!
Oh my god.
I know, it turns out that you can't actually run a Thursday show without me.
It's Friday, you dick. What? And we literally did the entire show except for your review. You're insufferable. Final game to talk about tonight is called Mighty Goose, developed by Blast Mode, published by Playism, released June 5th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $19.99. Mighty Goose is a fast-paced run-and-gun shooter starring a bounty hunter, Goose. Use epic weapons and devastating war machines to battle against screen-filling bosses and hordes of enemies. Jacob, tell us about Mighty Goose.
So Mighty Goose is very much in the vein of the Metal Slug games. A little bit of Contra. There's also definitely some Mega Man mixed in there as well. And so, yeah, you're just this goose who gets told, like, hey, you have to go down to this planet to rescue this scientist. And you start off with this pistol that is generally okay. But, you know, as you kill more and more enemies, just like the Metal Slug games, you know, you'll get like a shotgun, or you'll get like a machine gun, and it has X amount of bullets. And those are infinitely superior to the little pea shooter that you start off with. And you just go through the levels and, you either rescue these people or sometimes like, you know, sometimes there's a boss that you have to defeat. And So pretty much it's just you're going through them and you just defeat the level, go to the next one. You decide what your loadout's going to be, because the more people you rescue, you then have this like secondary partner that comes along that could either like boost your stats, give you a new weapon, or like they join you along with it. And yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I felt it was harder than like the Metal Slug games that I've played against. And I had to check the reviews just to make sure that it wasn't just me. But apparently it was.
yeah, it's a pretty tough game. I didn't get too far into it myself.
Yeah, there's a decent level of difficulty on it. And as I was going through it, you know, it's just, I was regularly getting my butt kicked, and it felt like there was almost even like a little bit of Battletoads DNA mixed in there, with the amount of memorization that you had to do, with some of the stuff, like remembering where enemies were going to be, or where they're spawning or is going to be, because sometimes, and I felt the game was a little cheap with this, there would be enemies that were spawning off camera. And so like they'd end up having to drop down or like come at the right side from you. And you'd have to remember where exactly they were going to be. Otherwise, you know, you were just going to get annihilated in like 5 seconds. But all in all, I found it to be a very enjoyable game. It's got a lot of challenges to it. And so it's not exactly the easiest thing out there, but it's
definitely a welcome addition. It has a honk button.
Yeah, but that honk's useless. I was so disappointed by that.
A honk button.
Honk.
Yeah, that's all you need, man. That's just, do you know how happy that made me to just have a button I could press and go honk? And that's all it fucking did. There's a lot wrong with me.
It was fun, but as soon as like I realized they weren't kidding in the description where they said that, like, you know, it doesn't help and it doesn't do anything, I was like, oh, haha, they're kidding. Oh, wait, no, they're not. It really doesn't help.
Nope. It's just a honk. Yeah.
Well, but yeah, like, honestly, it's a welcome addition to the run and gun stuff. I hope it does well, and I hope that we get to see a sequel, because it's definitely a fun game. A little more challenging than I would have liked, but it's definitely good, and I definitely recommend it.
Well, then, $19.99, what is your official verdict?
That's a little steep, in my opinion, but honestly, if you've been really wanting in like a new Metal Slug or a Contra game that doesn't suck, then Mighty Goose is definitely where you're going to want to look. So in that case, I do recommend it if you're a fan of that genre. If you're more of a casual person than me, maybe wait for a sale.
Cool beans. All right, that is it.
So
I have a question about that game.
What?
Do you have to tap the button in order to honk, or can you just hold it and it just honks forever?
You tap it to honk.
You have to tap, yeah.
Oh, damn. That ruins some of the fun.
Yeah, it's not like a hold down and get a honk.
Yeah, that's anytime, like even in car games, when you can do that, I have a tendency just to hold that button down as I do stuff.
So you're that asshole. Got it.
Yes, I am.
Cool. All right. Well, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Cole, you survived it. Music. I don't know what I'm doing for music. Someone just give me some final words so I can end this.
Fuck Jacob.
Bye, bitches.
I like fuck Jacob. That one was pretty good. Thank you.